For your digital download pleasure, it's Tim and Davo in podcast form.
God, one thing that really makes me uncomfortable is small talk.
Oh, right. I mean, as a radio announcer, big talk is your game. Small talk, I guess, yeah. It's something you don't think about too much.
Someone like you just bump into and you're starting to have a chat. You know, it's surface level stuff and I just don't like it.
So you don't like I'm in an elevator with a stranger.
No,
you don't have to speak to someone in an elevator. No. I stand by that. There's people that do. Just sit there, wait to get to your floor, silently walk out.
Well, I feel like I had a really bad experience on the train on Friday down to Good Things Music Festival.
You have a really interesting relationship with the train.
I've
heard really good and really bad stories from you.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously that time that I was sitting by myself in a really busy train and no one would sit next to me, that was just a bit sore on the ego.
But it also gives you your wish of no one to small talk with.
Exactly, exactly. So it's a double-edged sword there. But on Friday, I was I witnessed a guy get on the train. And he sat in one of those four-seater things. So obviously there's a few other people
facing
in there.
Facing each other.
Yep. And he has sat down in that and so confidently just struck up a conversation. A long conversation as well. It was the start of the journey. We had an hour and 10 minutes to go, baby, and he was raring to chat.
Yeah, but like when I'm on the V-line and I'm heading towards Southern Cross, I'm assuming most of us are going there.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like I'm not just going to jump on and get off at Lara.
No.
Those kind of deals. So it's like, all right. For 50 to 110 minutes or whatever it is, maybe not that much, we're committing to this.
Yeah.
So you've got to be open to having an hour-long chat with a stranger.
See, that, honestly, my worst nightmare. Further on down the V-line as we're heading into Flemington Racecourse, where it is chockers. I mean, and when I say chockers, we are all in there like sardines,
standing,
mate, packed in.
Yeah.
I was standing with my back to the train and then, of course, next to that are all the handles.
Yeah, so people can have a bit of balance.
There was a man 30 centimetres from my face and he wanted to have a chat.
Was it kind of like that? Oh, you going to the festival?
Yes, obviously I'm going to the festival.
To see?
Horrible stuff for me. 30 centimetres from my face. The most intimate thing that's happened to me in 6 months. At least.
You're like, slow down, we just met. Buy me dinner first before you speak to me this close.
It felt like that. Too much. Small talk. Unnecessary. Shh. You shush. I'll shush.
Ooh.
We all shush.
Shush.
And then we can just get on with our day. Put your headphones in like an adult.
How do you feel about a plane? Like when you sit down on a plane for a chat? Like, because I understand that. Maybe because you're a little bit more comfortable on a plane, you can put up with it. Train's hard because it's like not everyone's got a seat. Someone's 30 centimetres away. Their armpits in your head. Wow, you just sound so welcoming. This is a surprising
thing. I think a plane is also completely out of you're not allowed to do that.
Unless they're that hottie from Darwin when
you flew
over.
Well, we can't get into that. That was something different. But I will say
small
being
talk
on a plane.
Being something else.
Yeah, well, that was 3 hours of it and I was so stressed. I hated it. Even though he was hot, I hated it. Look, I want to know from the good.
I didn't realize that we had a hot filter on it. It'd be like, no, if you're hot, talk to me.
No.
But don't. If you're not, no.
See, you've taken us down the wrong sort of journey there. It's got nothing to do with
that. Sorry, my bad.
It's about the small talk when you're stuck in it.
My problem with the small talk is I think I'm with you for most of it. Is go, nah, just I don't want to. But sometimes you end up having small talk with a stranger and it's really, really nice.
Yeah, I'm sure, but I don't want to find out.
The strike rate can be so low, especially like specifically from the V-line from Geelong into the city. If you do not strike that well, that's a really uncomfortable train ride.
I'm to the point where if someone starts talking to me, I'll do the polite thing, maybe have a very quick chat and answer the question, and then immediately eye contact as I put my headphones in and turn my back to them and look out the window.
And then flip them the bird over my shoulder, really settle it in, like, don't talk to me.
Spit, you know. No, not at all. I want to know, small talk on the train, yay or nay? Yeah, I got a call from Azza just before. He told me he got on a plane when he was 17. Someone spoke to him next to him and said, I'm really scared of flights, and gave him a very big trauma dump as to why.
Ooh.
Azza said, oh, he'll never talk to someone on public transport again.
Oh, that just 17, never really had a chance to be an adult. I will never talk to a stranger. All right, well, Mark's in Winch. Mark, how do you feel about small talk on a train?
Yeah, I reckon it's all right, but it just depends on who you're small talking with.
Now, Mark, I've met you plenty of times. I think you're a great small talk person. Winch has got a great train station, so I'm sure from Winch when you come into Geelong, if you ever do that, I'd love to be having small talk with you. But
yeah,
plane, anything, when you're going from Geelong, like say Winch to the city, that's a lot of small talk, Mark.
Yeah. I do talk to myself sometimes when I'm there, mate.
Hang on. So are you an instigator, Mark? Are you the instigator of starting small talk with people on public transport?
Like I said, it depends who I'm talking to.
Yeah, you're one of them. I know you are.
It was Mark. I reckon it was Mark on Friday. Mark, appreciate your call. All right, Darren in Leopold, good afternoon to you. How do you feel about small talk on the train?
Yeah, Mark, you're a lunatic, mate. Don't ever sit next to me on a train. But, yeah, I used to get the train every day from probably 5 o'clock in the morning and then come home at 3, and I'd put the earbuds straight in and I'd be, you know, listening to music, podcasts, or if somebody tried
K-Rock
to talk
radio,
to
me,
obviously.
Yeah. On the brand new app, you can download it, stream us wherever you want from your pocket.
Get all the latest in local news.
and absolute worst case scenario, pretend you're asleep.
Yeah, true. I think there should be a rule on trains. Like, I don't get on public transport that early ever, but like before 7:30 a.m., every carriage is a quiet carriage.
Oh, for sure.
100%. So maybe instead of having one quiet carriage at the end, I think it should be like, say if it's a 6-carriage train, 5 are quiet carriages. Mm-hmm. Put all the yappers up the back.
Yes, Mark and all his friends.
Yeah, Mark and all his
and
mates.
And Darren and I in the quiet, for sure.
Not looking at each other. Yeah. All right. Perfect.
100%.
Yep, Darren, there you go. Listen to radio. Podcasts are dying art form.
Of course.
This is Tim and Davo, the podcast.
I've got something really exciting tomorrow, but the event itself is a little bit overwhelming.
Yeah.
So tomorrow morning, I'm getting up early and I'm heading to Melbourne, heading up the highway.
Big smoke.
I'm going to be on, I'm filming an episode of The Tipping Point with Todd Woodbridge.
I love this so much.
We interviewed Todd over a year ago when The Tipping Point came up to Australia and Australia had its own version. Mm-hmm. It's one of those afternoon shows. It's on Channel 9 right now.
Yep.
And I'm obsessed with it because it's on the TV screen here in the studio and like general knowledge, you win discs and you win money, right?
And the discs go down the little thing that look like a little arcade game. You
press
and
a
they
button.
Push the coins out. It's so fun.
And when we spoke to Todd, he was like, mate, come on the show. Again, over a year ago. And I was like, yeah, sure, why not? Sounds fun. We love the show. It's always on in the studios during
literally every day.
And so they reached out, went through the whole process. And then I just stopped replying in January. I completely forgot. They reached out a couple of weeks ago. They were like, hey, do you still want to do this? And I went, oh, yeah, I do. Thanks. And so tomorrow I'm going.
This is so exciting, first
really
of all.
Really cool.
I mean, going on a telly show, I feel like getting the behind the scenes is so cool.
I've never done anything like this before. My issue is I don't know how the game works.
We watch it every day.
On mute. And it's like, we don't watch it. It's on in the background. We kind of look over our shoulders and look at the three people playing, look at how handsome Todd Woodbridge is. And I go, that's great. There'll be a question. You go, oh, that's the answers. You know, what does the R in REM mean? Rapid. Oh, I would have won.
Okay.
And then I'm back looking at you, focused on my work.
Brilliant.
I don't know how this game works. It starts with three people and then there's two, then there's one. So obviously there's elimination.
Yes.
There's the different sections.
You've got to choose categories. You've got to choose which coin your slot goes down.
I've been sent the rules and I've loosely read them.
Oh, okay. So you have been sent the rules. So I thought, no, you're definitely going to get a briefing when you get there. But if they've already sent you the rules, then probably you are going to have to know them before you go.
Here's my thinking. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to not research anymore. Go in and just fly by the seat of my pants and then just hope it goes well.
Yeah.
I'm a straight white man. Things normally, this is my approach.
This
normally,
is
it just.
It'll fall in your lap.
I'll end up winning 40 grand, having no idea how the show works.
Hey, that's the other part of it. Say you do well in this, you could win up to $40,000.
That'd be crazy.
That's crazy.
I'd buy an affordable jet ski or a nice sized trailer. Not too big. Yeah. Something crazy.
Nice.
Or probably my wife would probably say we probably should put it towards buying a house.
Yeah, something.
But she
like
doesn't
that.
Know how badly we need a trailer.
All right. Well, look, tonight you're obviously going to have to scrub up on the rules, I do think. I think you should be getting on 9 now and replaying some of the best of Tipping Point. I mean, what a time. What a time
on?
To be alive.
Volume on. Oh, wow. Yeah. I wonder what he's like. I've spoken to Todd over the phone. I don't know what he sounds like unfiltered.
There's a full library on 9 now. This isn't a plug.
I also need to, they were like, you need to bring 3 sets of clothes.
Oh.
I've got one after that. So I've given my wife homework tonight. I'm like, you're dressing me. If you've ever seen our promo photos on K-Rock, that's what I'm going to be wearing on the Tipping Point tomorrow. This episode's not going to come out for weeks as well.
No one's going to be upset about the outfit repeating. But okay, so your wife is getting your clothes sorted.
She's going to help me pick the options.
You need to get your energy sorted. You need to get down there with some hype in you.
Oh, I'm hyped. I don't know how the game works.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. But you've got to learn
the idea of going on the show is so fun to me.
It is. It's so fun. It's very cool. So don't stuff it up.
Okay, all right. I just feel bad because there's like people there like,
$40,000 on the line. Yeah, read the super rules,
It's super. Yeah, I know. But it's fun. Just Todd Woodbridge meeting him. That'll be fun.
What a privilege.
He's a great guy. One of the Woodies. All right. Well, if I come to work in a bad mood tomorrow, you're going to figure out why.
This is Tim and Davo, the podcast.
I realized I have a weird theory. And I've been chatting to a few people over the last few days after I realized this, and I would love to get everyone's take.
Okay.
So if I'm getting takeaway, in particular like Thai food or maybe Indian or something that requires rice, I go, well, I'm already getting takeaway. So the reason how I can justify getting takeaway is I'll make the rice at home.
Why?
Because I'm not paying $6 for rice. I've got 4 kilos that I can whip up in 12 minutes. So if we get, my brain goes, yeah, we'll get takeaway, but I'm making the rice. And okay. I think my wife maybe has been conditioned to also think that that's normal. Because I've been speaking about this with some people and they're going, nah, man, just buy the rice.
Yeah, man. Just buy the rice. Your reasoning when you said, I'm getting takeaway anyway. I'm like, that's right. You're getting takeaway anyway.
What's so another $6? Just pay.
And also, do we need to look at our contracts? Because are you struggling that bad with getting a $6 rice? Is everything okay?
Mate, takeaway for a couple of people. It's scary.
I have nothing. I've got nothing to my name.
You know, when you're getting solo takeaway, it's different, you know? Can kind of do these things, but my brain goes, yeah, no, don't buy the rice. But then it goes, you can get yourself some roti bread or some naan. Ooh, you know, okay. Like we're saving money on the rice because I'm making it at home.
Whereas I'm just thinking, get both,
get it all, get it all. Well, I want it all. That's the thing. But my brain for years has done this thing where we go, we feel crazy when we buy the rice. It's like, man, we are lazy tonight. We're buying rice.
It's like getting McDonald's, but instead of getting the post-McCoast Coke, you are then having a 2 litre in the fridge that you're just pouring into a glass. You don't do that.
It just, I don't know what it is. And I think it's rubbed off on my wife because she also is like, oh no, like we've got rice at home, you know? We shouldn't be not buying rice, you know, anything like that. Like we'll just do it. We'll cook it ourselves.
You and your wife are too much fun, by the way. I just need to post need couple to of mention crazy guys. That, definitely. I just think, like I said, you're getting takeaway anyway. Why not just treat yourself that $4 for the big tub of rice? Saves you the issue. You don't have to get dishes then. You're already in it, mate. You're already in the thick of it.
I don't know. As much as I've realized over the last couple of days that I know that it is a bit bizarre that the rice is the tipping point of the takeaway. Be like, oh, no, we're going to make rice or we're going to buy rice. Oh, we can't buy rice. We're already buying takeaway. It's like something – it's like to me buying rice is like buying – express delivery. It's like, yeah, I'll pay an extra $4 for you to bring me my food faster.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like for me to buy rice.
And you're not doing that either?
My wife will do it without me realizing. She'll be like, oh, I got so fast. Yeah, it was only X amount of dollars. And I'll look back and I'll be like, you did express delivery, didn't you? And you bought the bloody rice.
I don't think it's lazy to buy the rice at all.
I think, I don't know. I think I'm not out there alone buying rice, not buying the rice by myself. I think more people cook the rice at home then buy the rice with the food.
I don't think there is one person listening right now.
They cook the rice.
There is no one else.
There are heaps of us. It's how you justify buying takeaway. You cook the rice. There are plenty of us. And if you need one, we'll take one.
Mm.
So you even said, I don't think one person will call through and say they do the exact same thing as me.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to introduce you to Kate from Inverleigh. Now, I haven't spoken to Kate, so I don't know where this is about to go. But Kate, are you like me? Are you a rice cooker?
Oh, look, I'd love to say I was, just to support you. But no, when you're getting takeaway, you get the whole lot. There's no cooking involved at all because you're being, you know, you're treating yourself. But if you really need the rice, I do agree with you that I won't waste money on that. I have to get coconut rice or special fried rice.
Oh.
Not the
rice. So you're not just getting plain rice. I have heard fried rice is the way that you can convince your brain, because you go, well, I'm not just ordering rice. I'm cutting carrots. Yeah. I'm getting peas. Mm-hmm. There's corn in there. There's a bit of egg.
Yeah. So start with that, maybe.
Okay, so you're thinking just switching up the rice to make the rice a little bit more fancy if you're going to go and buy it anyway.
Yeah, and then I can justify the price. I think, there's a bit of coconut in there, or there's a bit of something extra.
Well, it makes sense, because say if there was leftover just plain rice, I'm very unlikely to go back to that. If there's leftover fried, like half a thing left of fried rice, that's a meal in itself to go back for leftovers, Kate.
Yeah, 100%. Yep.
So I've been cooking rice all this time, and I could have been buying fried rice.
You've cooked
it. Yeah, yeah.
I've cooked it. You've cooked myself. Oh, Kate.
Well. Don't beat yourself.
It's Tim and Davo.
Had to do something today I don't really like doing often, and it's buying myself water.
It is a defeating feeling.
Yeah.
Especially because I have, like I imagine you do, Davo, 7 water bottles in my life.
Yes.
I've got a couple at work, I've got a couple at home, I've got a couple in the car, all reusable, ready to go. Like, just, I need, if I want water, I want to have it near me with my water bottles.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've got one of those Frank Greens. That cost me $90. Have you seen me use it?
No.
No, that's
I've seen your Yeti one that you got a gift, and it's got a crocodile smoking a cigarette on it or something.
Yeah, it says Territory Tough, Davo.
So, yeah, I've seen that water bottle. But
well,
yeah.
I did forget that one today, so I was gutted to say, oh, I need to buy water because I need some water.
We were out and about as well, so it's pretty defeating. And you came back with, I thought, when you were coming back, I was like, David said she was going to get water. She's coming back with Monster or Mother or something like that.
Yeah, I have managed to buy the fanciest water in all of Victoria. Actually, all of Australia, okay. I would say. Now, look, I don't know.
I've never seen this brand, but it's water in a can,
Davo. It is water in a can. It's still mineral water. And you know when they're mentioning it's mineral, you know it's flash.
All right.
Well, look, the reason why I've brought this to the table today is because, like I said,
say, what's going on here?
It's an outrageous can of water.
Okay.
It's way too flash, and I need to sort of go through some of the details about it. So first of all, like I said, it says still mineral water, you know it's fancy.
Okay.
Filtered through volcanic rock.
I did find it weird because I was kind of standing away from you, and I heard you talking to someone, you're going, volcanic rock! Just off to the side. What do you mean through volcanic rock?
Well, what do you mean?
I mean,
I'm sure it's filtered through the volcanic rock. I can't taste that.
Oh, but no, but it implies that it's like, oh, all right, yeah, so this is the good stuff, because it's got volcanoes. That's where water, the best water comes from, Davo.
Yeah, I guess. But then listen to this. Listen to the write-up in the back of this can. It literally, I spat some of the water out when I
You shouldn't have. It's very high quality.
It is. All right, so the back of the can, before the storm. First, there is calm. Air at peace, water still. A tribute to Victoria's Central Highlands, found in the depths of a dormant volcano. Purified by nature, infused with minerals. A 30-year journey.
That's a lot for a water. That's a lot for a can of water. Mount Franklin's just like, we're pretty good. From Mount Franklin.
That needs
drink
to
that water.
Calm down.
Yeah. I see, and it's like, I like Cool Ridge branding, because it's like cool. It's Cool Ridge isn't a place, I don't think.
No.
It's just like, yep, that's water. It's from a Cool Ridge. That's where we get our water. That's something you see on the back of a kombucha can or something like that.
I have no business drinking this fancy water. That is an outrageous. And do you know what? For the cool price of $6 a can, that could be all
yours.
You can
feel just as better as Davo is than everybody else right now.
Well, we're all out of internet. Until next time, this has been Tim and Davo.